Since November and possibly before, leaders within the UW system have been busy working to implement a major restructuring of state-run higher education. That's after UW System President Ray Cross announced a plan to merge the state's two-year colleges with its four-year universities and shift some of the functions of the state's University of Wisconsin Extension and Cooperative Extension Services to new homes within the system. It is a massive undertaking, and today on the West Side, we'll speak with some of those leaders to get an idea of the kind of discussions and planning and processes that are underway leading up to a July 1st deadline. That's this hour on the West Side. Good Monday morning to you. I'm Rich Kramer, and thanks for joining us on a blizzardy type day, at least in the Eau Claire area. We've got some heavy snow on the way, so if anyone is listening in their cars, please slow down, take care, be safe. Joining me, I've got four guests today. Joining me in the studio first, and this is going to be in no particular order, I'd like to introduce David Lehman. He is the Dean of the Colleges of Arts and Sciences at UW-Eau Claire. David Lehman, welcome.
Good morning.
Oops, wrong button. There he is.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you. Joining us by phone, we've got Brittany Nielsen. She's Associate Dean for Student Affairs at UW-Barron County. Welcome to the program, Brittany.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. And joining us from our studios in Madison, we have Carl Martin. He is Dean and Director for UW Cooperative Extension. Carl Martin, welcome to the program.
Morning, Rich.
Also, we've got Aaron Brower. He is Provost and Vice Chancellor for UW Extension. Aaron Brower, welcome.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning to you. Listeners, if you want to get in on this conversation, let us know, 1-800-228-5615. Because there are so many different moving parts, different angles to this complicated restructure, we're going to spend the first half of the program mainly talking about what's going on with UW Extension and UW Cooperative Extension. Then after a short break, we'll bring in Brittany Nielsen and David Lehman to speak more directly about what's happening between UW-Barron County and UW-Eau Claire, respectively. That said, if you have questions, 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. And again, before I start, I want to let everybody know, full disclosure, Wisconsin Public Radio lives within the UW system. We are part of these proposed changes. We are affected, so just want everyone to know that right off the top. So going to UW Extension first, Aaron Brower, I will start with you. And I guess either one, Aaron Brower or Carl Martin, or if Brittany or David wants to jump in, I don't want to make it too confusing, but what actually has to happen by July 1st? You know, the media reports, we've seen that the Regents approved this plan. There's a deadline, but is that a deadline for a plan, a deadline for the actual mergers to happen, or what does that number mean?
Yeah, Rich, this is Aaron, and let me actually take a few minutes here to just sketch out what's happening and why.
Great.
And that will lead into then what needs to happen by July 1 and over the next really year and a half to 2 years that is what people expect the transition to take. So the transition, this restructuring is really driven by the fact that enrollments into the UW institutions and particularly UW colleges, which are all the two-year campuses around the state, those enrollments have been declining over the last 10 years, and population trends in the state are only going to make that worse. In other words, fewer people graduating from high school and that sort of thing. In the colleges, the enrollment drop actually is pretty significant. It's about 30%, 32% over the last 10 years. And so the restructuring is really trying to address that. The plan is that the UW colleges will join with four-year campuses across the state, kind of in a regional way, and that is using a map that was approved by the Regents in their November Board of Regents meeting. And so, for example, UW-Barron County is joining with UW-Eau Claire, and Brittany and David will be able to talk about how that merger is taking place. On the extension side, extension is also being restructured, although extension is a completely separate institution from UW colleges. And extension consists of four primary divisions. There's cooperative extension, which is the division that Carl Martin is the dean of, and cooperative extension has faculty and staff all across the state in all 72 counties, three tribal nations, and those faculty and staff work directly with counties to do work within that county. Second division, as you mentioned, is connected to Wisconsin Public Radio. So Wisconsin Public Broadcasting is the second division of extension, and it's public radio and public television. Third division is continuing education, and the fourth division is business and entrepreneurship, which runs, among other things, it runs small business development centers. So the reason they're going through a restructuring as well is because even though they have it's a separate institution, they share a chancellor and they share back office operations. So as you make changes on the colleges side, it's going to force changes on the extension side.
I see. So I guess back to the question, you know, on July 1st, I've heard some reports say that this is when the colleges and universities have to be merged. Are there any hard deadlines as far as July 1st is concerned for UW Extension? Or is it, as you just mentioned, going to impact you either way because all of this is intertwined in a very, very tightly wound kind of a thing?
Yeah, yes, right. It's the right question. What happens July 1? And there'll be a lot of changes that happen on July 1, and a lot of things won't change. Some of the changes that won't happen are kind of invisible to most people who are using both extension services or attending colleges. So, mm-hmm. So we know for sure that cooperative extension is going to go to the UW-Madison campus, and then the fate of public broadcasting, continuing education, and business and entrepreneurship is going to be determined. We expect a vote from the regents at their February meeting, which is in about 2 weeks, and then we'll learn more about what the fate is there. But, you know, Brittany and David can talk more about what literally happens on July 1 and, more importantly, what happens with students starting with the fall semester, fall of 18.
Well, then, and again, for the first half, let's focus on extension and then cooperative extension. With regards to extension, my questions tend to be very broad, and I swear I do research, but I'm wondering, will there be a UW extension anymore? Will it cease to exist?
UW extension in its current configuration will likely not exist. Now, the divisions, the four divisions I mentioned, will exist, and they continue to do great work, and they'll find new administrative homes. But as a four divisions being together, that's correct. They will not exist.
And what kind of challenges might that pose for what do we know about how things will work after that? Because I've been warned that a lot of this is unknown yet, and so I'm just wondering if UW Extension doesn't exist. Some people are concerned about, you know, the Wisconsin idea being tied to Extension. So you're telling me that the services will still exist, so therefore would that mean that the Wisconsin idea is still alive in those services, but yet the Extension, am I going down a rabbit hole here?
Yeah, no, you're asking all the right questions, and actually half of the state is asking all the same questions. and the truth is that we, you know, this will get unfolded over the next many months. Carol will be able to talk a bit more about co-op and how the continuity of service is being maintained. Let me just say from my position of kind of looking across colleges and extension is that the work done by the people of extension faculty, staff. That work is universally seen as important. And the last thing system is interested in doing is, frankly, messing that up. And as a consequence, then a lot of discussion on the connection of cooperative extension with Madison is how do you move that unit administratively but maintain all the good things that it does? How do you support faculty and staff in the similar way, and how do you make sure that the connections to the counties remain? Are there new kinds of connections that can be now taken advantage of mm-hmm. with a new administrative home?
Right, absolutely. There could be a lot of, change is always unsettling for some, but there's always ups and downs. So, Carl Martin, I wanted to ask you, Carl Martin is Dean and Director for Cooperative Extension. We just heard from Aaron Brower, Provost and Vice Chancellor for UW Extension. Again, we're talking about the restructure proposal and the work that's being done to actually make it happen. If you've got a question or comment, 800-228-5615. So, Carl Martin, will the public see any changes in their county cooperative offices or how they're staffed?
No. Cooperative Extension, independent of this restructuring, has gone through a major internal restructuring of our own. And the idea is that will continue, and we'll continue to implement that, our own internal restructuring. But we've already communicated with our county partners that it's our intent to continue to partner with them to provide services around agriculture, around family, around youth, around community development, health and well-being, and natural resources. So there's no change in what our programming is going to be and our relationships with the counties. We'll continue to work with our counties. In fact, I just had a meeting this morning to talk about working with counties and identifying what their needs are and making sure that our program delivery meets those needs, but then also the research that we're conducting really addresses those priorities. One of the advantages of being part of UW-Madison, being part of the land-grant institution, is that we'll be able to better leverage additional resources. You have to remember, UW-Madison is a $2 billion in extramural funding annually. That's an amazing world-class institution that we're now going to be able to leverage a variety of those departments and those researchers more closely than we have in the past. I wouldn't say that we haven't been connected, but now we're actually going to be under the same umbrella. I should also point out that in the other 49 states, Cooperative Extension is part of the land grant institution. Wisconsin has always been a bit of an outlier. Mm-hmm. And actually in 1965, from 1912 to 1965, Cooperative Extension was part of UW-Madison, and then the system president at that time, Fred Harrington, decided to move Cooperative Extension and form more of a super extension type service across the system rather than having it only tied to the flagship institution. And as you can imagine, there's advantages and disadvantages to both of those models. But we're excited about the move, and we're looking forward to developing new partnerships to address issues that our counties have, that our various constituency groups have across the state.
With that, I wanted to take our first call. Chris in Eau Claire, are you there, Chris?
Yeah, I'm still here.
What's on your mind, Chris?
So actually, one of the big things that I recently graduated that's always been a concern of mine or a hope is that at some point, UW system would figure out a way that transfer credits from two-year institutions would be more seamless to the four-year institutions. So is there any, want or desire to look at those and try to streamline either the learning outcomes of courses at 2 years so that when a student goes from an associate's kind of level education to trying to finish their bachelor's at a 4 years, is there any desire to kind of look at that?
Sure, and before we let you go, Chris, great question, but I was wondering, did you go through that path? Did you start at one of the colleges and do the transfer from a two-year to a four-year yourself?
I did not. While I was in school, I was significantly involved in shared governance, and so a lot of my friends went through that same path, and it was difficult for them.
It was. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for that call, and a reminder to the rest of our listeners, if you have a question or comment about the UW restructure or about how it plays out locally, give us a call, 1-800-228-5615. We've got wide open phone lines. So I'm not sure who that question would go to.
Yeah, I'm happy to take that. This is Aaron again.
All right. Provost Brower, you know, this is one of the big selling points for this plan was to make credits much more easily transferable. So why aren't they already, and what actual changes would make that smoother?
Right. So there's actually two parts of this. And first of all, Chris is right on track about the barriers that some students face as they're trying to transfer not only from 2 years to 4 years, but frankly, between four-year institutions. So there's part of it actually is about shared learning goals, as Chris mentioned. And the university system has shared learning goals. But the way in which those are, and then this gets into the technical side, the way in which those are positioned in classes and then even the class numbering is different from institution to institution. So this reorganization does create the opportunity to streamline that and to have a common numbering system for the intro calculus course and the intro Spanish course and they are looking at that. It's something that is probably not going to happen July 1 because the details to make that work are actually fairly technical and have to do with how courses are registered in systems. And but yeah, absolutely. That is one of the, just as you said, one of the selling points of this restructure.
And something is... So something like course numbering can actually cause that big of a hiccup that it would make it tough for students.
Yeah, it's a little bit crazy from the outside, and we all shake our heads as well. But absolutely, because you get a course numbered differently and you have to examine it in a different way because it's not exactly laid out the same way as that course from the receiving institution.
Right. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. I wanted to go back to the UW cooperative side of things. And Carl Martin, before we had that caller, I wanted to ask you and kind of follow up on what you mentioned about how you're already going through, these offices are already going through a reorganization. So we've got a restructure, reorganization on top of a reorganization. What does that do to staff? I'm just wondering, faculty and staff, I mean, are they... I've seen some evidence that there's some concerns and maybe even some fears out there. So, you know, what does this do for your employees?
Yeah, and that's a major concern of mine. Obviously, the reorganization we went through internally, that's taken 3 years for us to really move through that.
Right.
We're kind of seeing the end of the tunnel. We're really moving forward with implementation, and now this was put on the table. But having said that, I think a lot of that internal change continues. That's been very clear in the communications that have come out. And I think this move to Madison will provide, you know, an opportunity for us. So I think this is being looked at by a lot of faculty and staff as a real positive that we're going to be part of the flagship institution. We'll go through, obviously, some major rebranding, both of our offices, business cards, everything that will now be tied to UW-Madison. But that's not to diminish that this kind of adds more stress, more uncertainty. There's uncertainty around faculty and how does that those faculty positions integrate with UW-Madison. But overall, I would say this is much more we're going to take cooperative extension as a whole, lift it up and move it and have it become part of Madison. Rather than we're going to disentangle cooperative extension, we're going to pull it apart, we're going to change its budgets, change its partnerships. None of that's being talked about. We're not looking at changing our program priority areas. We continue to look at that internally as we have in the past, but that's not part of this move to UW-Madison. So I think from that standpoint, there's some assurance that, you know, we're going to remain viable, important community partner across the state, whether we're part of Extension and Colleges or now we're part of UW-Madison, our mission and goals remain the same, and that's been embraced by Chancellor Blank and the administrators at UW-Madison.
And the reorganization that's underway right now was in response to some pretty hefty budget cuts in prior state budgets, and that led to some, at least from my perspective, it seemed like there might have been a little bit of an approach towards regionalizing some of the services. And I'm just wondering, with another shift like this, and with a, you know, Madison has this big budget, but I'm not sure if they've got all the details in order of how they absorb the budget from this other organization. So could we see more regionalization in places like Western Wisconsin of services?
Probably not. What we've really, you know, that was on the table a year and a half ago to really go to a regional model. And we made the decision with a lot of input from our county partners that we wanted to maintain county offices. We have opened the door to sharing where a county may have a lower priority, not enough funding in place for a position where they would share that need with a neighboring county. But that those relationships in county offices and having county offices remain open will be a priority throughout this transition. So again, that's restructuring that took place, and we did do some regionalization where we now have area extension directors that oversee from an administrative standpoint multiple counties in West Central and Northern Wisconsin. But so that change has taken place already. I don't foresee there being additional regionalization taking place from the move to Madison. If resources become more scarce, particularly with our county partners, there may be a need for more sharing of educators across counties. But I think that's really yet to be determined, and that ebbs and flows over time. And I think we just need to work with our partners on that as we move forward.
And just as a, maybe a testament to how complex these relationships are, as I started reporting on this thing, that's when I learned that, oh, the counties own the buildings, own the property, they contract with the university. I mean, it's really a, just yeah. for cooperative extension, that is a whole can of worms. So
yeah.
it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, and on the colleges side, the counties own those college campus
exactly.
buildings. Yeah, it's absolutely right.
Oh, that's what I was getting at. I'm sorry.
The regionalization question, though, this is where there's a little this restructuring has a different meaning for inside the system versus outside. Outside, the attempt is to try and, again, provide the same high-quality education to students, to
right.
provide the same service across the state. Inside, there is a lot of opportunity for restructuring that helps make processes more seamless. And Chris mentioned the one about transfer. That's one example. There's a ton of examples, you know, the calendaring system that everyone uses and how purchasing works and HR processes and IT systems could be standardized in ways that really could save quite a lot of money. And, you know, it's hard to see that as a bad idea, except, of course, if you lose service. And so that's where the balance is.
We've got another call from Elaine in Colfax. Elaine, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. I think the way that the university system was set up was a beautiful idea, and it was working excellent. And it gave services to people in rural areas as well as the big cities. There's so much. I mean, you could swing a cat anywhere, and there's a university system that you could access. And this process is going to diminish all those services, and it's creating chaos in the system. I cannot imagine being an administrator and trying to figure this all out. And what frightens me is the speed at which it's supposed to happen. It just seems like it's cutting the throat of this institution that is a jewel in the crown of Wisconsin.
Hey, thank you so much for that, Elaine. We appreciate the call. I'm going to have to, because of a technical issue, I'm going to ask that you take your answer off the air. So this is, again, open for any of our guests. I'm not sure who to throw this to.
Yeah, I'll jump in.
Aaron Brower, you get the
distinguished
position. But, you know, first of all, let's just talk about the speed, because we've already addressed the services, the goal is to not reduce services as the public sees them. But we just heard from Carl Martins saying that their reorganization took 3 years and it's still in process. We've got a few months. You know, summer might feel like a long way away right now, but
not to us in the middle of this. Absolutely. So, yeah, I actually want to address Elaine's emotional response to it, which actually we all share. The challenge here is that how do you do this reorganizing? And there are good reasons why it's being done, regardless of your politics in the system. You know, you look at how states are reorganizing their higher ed systems across the country.
It is a national movement, for sure.
It is. And again, not only for budget reasons, there are new technologies that need to be integrated in ways that that haven't yet been. But, okay, so I just want to acknowledge that part of it and not really killing the goose that lays the golden egg, frankly. So that feeling is shared by lots and lots of people. The speed here, it's true that I think that the way in which this was unveiled in November made it sound as if the whole thing had to be done by July 1.
Mm-hmm.
And what's becoming very clear is that certain things will happen July 1 and certain things are going to take another 18 months to 2 years. There are lots and lots of people spending a lot of time sorting out all of the issues that have to get addressed in order to, again, find this balance between providing good service and education all across the state with doing it in this new new structure.
Well, let's take one more call here because we're about to take our break here on the west side and transition to more of a local discussion about what it all means for UW-Barron County and UW-Eau Claire. We have David Lehman and Brittany Nielsen waiting in the wings. But first, let's go to Terry in Colfax. Terry, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm an alumni of the UW system, and I've been following both sides, and I look as a student as far as costs. A good example would be in Rice Lake. You have UW-Barron County, and you have Wisconsin-Indiana Head Tech College. They're probably a stone's throw away, as my grandfather would say. And a while back, I did some comparisons, and let's just use intro to sociology or whatever. You got tech colleges competing with two-year UW colleges, and they have for years. And if they're not going to lower the cost of a UW-Barron intro to sociology as compared with Wisconsin-Indian Head's intro to sociology, you're going to find that the tech college courses are cheaper. And what are their biggest advantages is they say we're cheaper because I know for a fact they're funded differently than the UW system, but yet I see no comparisons to if you strictly focus on liberal arts courses, chemistry, biology, whatever. And I see an expansion on the tech college side, whereas I don't see any reduction of costs on the UW system side. And if I'm a parent or a student and I got a course that will transfer the UW system or whatever down the road, and the course is cheaper than the UW college's courses, which one are you going to pick?
Terry, we got you.
The big talk here now is these tech colleges say all these herbal arts courses, they transfer to the UW system.
Thanks so much for the question, Terry. That one's wide open. I mean, if Brittany wants to jump in on that, or if we're going to have Aaron take that. But that has been something that, as we've done shows on this, we've heard constantly about the mission creep. People are calling it mission creep at the mm-hmm. tech college system where they're, you know, more liberal arts offerings. And mm-hmm. everybody's trying to be competitive in this. And it's these are two systems that are run by the state, but they're very different.
And funded different.
And funded.
Terry's correct about that.
Local property taxes, right. Part of the funding for the tech colleges. So, Aaron Brown.
I'll give a quick response, and then I'm certain Brittany has other thoughts here too. But it's true, as Terry says. So it's funded locally by property taxes, and so there's just a different population who's funding the local tech colleges, and there's some advantages there. And I would also agree with Terry in saying that if these two courses are identical, no difference whatsoever, then the only differentiator is cost. And for that matter, by the way, Intro to Sociology is online from MIT to Stanford.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, why not take it there if, again, if there's no difference in the experience that you're taking? So I think that there's two parts of this. Again, you do need to figure out the economics to make it work, the business modeling to make it work. And then the UW needs to continue to differentiate itself in terms of the student experience and the quality or emphases of those courses. And so then a parent or a student is making decisions not only based on price, but based on the value of the added cost if they're going to take it through the UW.
And Brittany Nielsen, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Sure. And Terry, just want to say thank you. Yes, we do struggle sometimes to help guide our students and families on what the difference is. But what we really try to focus on is meeting the needs of our students. And we are, as Terry said, a stone's throw away right next to our local technical school. But we really focus on the right fit. As Aaron was alluding to, it is the holistic approach, not just a single course and not just the price tag, but we really focus on looking at their full experience. So we have athletic programs, music opportunities, internships, really a lot of outside offerings that really plays into the whole life of a student on campus.
And with that, I wanted to thank our guests joining us in our Madison studios. Aaron Brower is the provost and vice chancellor of UW Extension. Aaron Brower, thank you so much for joining us this hour.
Thank you.
And Carl Martin is dean and director of Cooperative Extension. Carl Martin, thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
And with that, we'll take our first break here on the West Side. When we come back, we're going to dive into more about the details that are going on and the planning that's going on behind the scenes between UW-Barron County and UW-Eau Claire. Those two campuses have a marriage, and that date is July 1st, as far as I know. And that's a hard deadline in that situation. So we'll talk more about that when we return. This is the West Side. If you've got questions or comments about the UW restructure as a whole, if you've got questions about specifically what it might mean for your students at UW-Eau Claire, UW-Barron County, River Falls, wherever, let us know. 1-800-228-5615. We'll be back in just a bit.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from the Second Century Endowment Fund, a board-designated endowment fund providing ongoing financial support for WPR in its second century of service to the residents of Wisconsin.
Are you 70 and a half years old? Do you have an IRA? Well, if you do, then you can take advantage of the IRA Charitable Rollover Program. You can gift or roll over up to $100,000 from your IRA to charity, free from federal income tax. An IRA rollover gift also counts toward your required minimum distribution, lowers your taxable income for the year, and helps support all of your favorite WPR programs. To learn more about IRA rollover gifts, visit WPRlegacy.org.
Support for WPR comes from the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin Foster Care Program, dedicated to helping thousands of Wisconsin foster kids connect with caring families. More about being a foster parent is at chw.org/TFC. Wisconsin Public Radio brings the state together. With reports from our 7 bureaus around the state and conversations about topics that matter to you, WPR is your connection to the pulse of Wisconsin. We are your source for in-depth news from Wisconsin, the U.S., and the world. Support for WPR comes from UW Credit Union, dedicated to providing a variety of investment options paired with financial consultants members can trust. More at uwcu.org. Your best interest always comes first.
You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm your host, Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us on Ideas Network stations 88.3 WHWC Menominee Eau Claire and 88.7 WRFW River Falls. We're talking about the UW restructure. It's a massive plan. There's a lot of work going on behind the scenes as we speak. July 1st has been set as a deadline of sorts. There's still a lot of work that'll be going on beyond that date. For the first half of this program, we spoke with Provost and Chancellor of UW Extension, Aaron Brower, and Dean and Director of Cooperative Extension, Carl Martin. The restructure is kind of in, it's multiple chunks, but for the layman, part of it is the merging of the two-year colleges with the four-year universities. The other part has to do with extension, cooperative extension. So, for this second half of the hour, we are going to bring on Brittany Nielsen and David Layman. Brittany Nielsen, for a reminder, is an Associate Dean for Student Affairs at UW-Barron County, and David Layman is Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences at UW-Eau Claire. If you have a question or a comment, let us know, 1-800-228-5615. Phone lines are wide open. So let's start with UW-Barron County and Brittany. With this news coming out and with the notice that your institution, the name will go away, you'll be merging with some new friends, how are employees and, you know, staff, faculty handling this in general at your campus?
That's a really good question, and I do think it was, you know, change always brings uncertainty. One of the things, though, that has been phenomenal is the collaboration. Chancellor Schmidt did a phenomenal job reaching out to our faculty and staff at UW-Barron County in just saying welcome. And one of the things that we have been doing since the announcement was made is talking, really getting to know one another. We've had opportunities to travel back and forth to one another's campuses and really start looking at all of the opportunities that are in front of us. And so really in this whole partnership, for our students, I don't think they're going to see many changes, and we're just excited that we're going to continue to serve our mission in our community and be a valuable resource here in Rice Lake and in the Barron area.
Yeah, it seems like the players involved here, you know, Chancellor Schmidt and members of UW-Barron County, Keith Montgomery also was in town meeting with the county. I mean, there's been a lot of discussions, which must be doing a lot to kind of soothe some frayed nerves, but what about for UW-Eau Claire and David Layman? What are you hearing from your compatriots and staff, faculty?
Well, I echo what Brittany just said about the collaborative nature of this joining of our two campuses. I mean, this all came as a surprise to us back in November, right?
Yeah, a surprise.
The UW colleges had been through a major reorganization just 2 years before. This was now a new kind of reorganization. But we immediately went to work, and the work has been about talking with each other, but also setting up a process by which we address the multiple issues that are involved in this kind of joining process. And so, you know, we benefited, ironically, in a way, from UW-Barron County's previous experience with reorganization just 2 years before, where they had set up task forces and so forth. So the process we set up was informed in part by what they knew from their very recent experience. We have five different task forces, all of which, or each of which, is populated by members of the UW-Eau Claire community and the UW-Barron County community, meeting regularly, not always face-to-face, of course, but but the one thing we learned from our friends in UW-Barron County is how efficient and easy it is to do meetings with Skype, right? So we're meeting face-to-face in that way, right?
And when it works.
When it works. Well, it's been dependable. We use the blue jeans, right? So and then we've had some of these larger face-to-face, lengthier and larger face-to-face gatherings as well. On our campus, I think the intensity of the change is felt less, right? Because we're a bigger campus. Barron County is a smaller campus.
So, and you're not the one moving, technically.
Exactly. But we do see this as a joining, not a takeover, right? Not a complete absorption. I do want to highlight, you know, the guiding principles that were established right at the beginning of this process, which I think put the focus in the right place. number one, put students first. Two, preserve and strengthen our distinct missions. Now, much of the mission of UW-Barron County and the mission of UW-Barron County and UW-Eau Claire, there's a lot of overlap in our missions. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, serving community, serving students, you know, many things that stem from the still very venerable and important Wisconsin idea. But there are some differences in our mission, so to preserve those distinctions as well. Operate with transparency, proceed with focused speed, strengthen inclusive excellence, and create a foundation of financial sustainability. So we've had kind of shared guiding principles from the start. And really great conversation. I mean, I think one of the benefits of this for students will be to go back to that first caller concerned about transfer pathways, right? And there are issues to be addressed there. But one of the major benefits of this process is that we are getting to know each other so well through this process. We always have been 50 miles apart. Mm-hmm. There have been some faculty at UW-Claire who had connections in UW-Barron County, a few adjunct faculty teaching on both campuses and so forth. But for the most part, there wasn't that much interaction between our campuses, just 50 miles apart. Mm-hmm. We would gladly receive really great students from UW-Barron County, but we didn't interact all that much. We're interacting virtually every day now, and that will only be good for students. And I hasten to add that the student at UW-Barron County who is looking to go on for a four-year degree, they don't have to come to UW-Eau Claire. I mean, students will have choices. They can come to UW-Eau Claire. They could go to another UW school that might fit their pathway even better. And that's the same the same is true for students in Wausau or students in other locations around the state who mm-hmm. may choose in a two-year college campus to go to another UW school in another part of the state.
Sure. So, Brittany, I'll go to you and I'll go to David next, but what is, even if it's something technical that most of us on the outside wouldn't even think about, what's the heaviest lift with regard to kind of joining these two campuses?
Well, that's a really good question, and I think probably the most difficult point right now is just waiting for answers, knowing that we are working very closely with our system administration. We're working with our partnering institutions, and we're working still within our own institution. And it's just waiting for some of those answers to come up. But as David said, we hit the ground running. So when we start to receive those answers from system administration and some of their guidance, we have plans ready and in place. So there's a lot of moving parts to this, and what we're doing is really, again, keeping the focus on our students and reassuring them that we're going to continue operating as is right now, and what we'll do is communicate with them if and when changes occur. So, again, kind of just sitting back and waiting can be difficult.
Yes, that's my least favorite. So if I may ask, what is one of the answers that you're waiting on?
Well, I think it's going back to your first question. We have that July 1st time frame, and we're still trying to see what that may mean. Personnel, HR functions, we have a lot of questions around that area. And right now what we're doing is business as usual. Really continuing our day-to-day operations as we have in the past. So, again, that July 1st is kind of a date that's out there, and we're just trying to receive an answer around what that means mm-hmm. and then how we go from there.
David Lehman, same question to you. What's one of the big heavy lifts in terms of joining these institutions? I've got a whole series of questions mm-hmm. for both of you, but with that, yeah, what is one thing that you can let us public folk know?
Right. Well, I mean, to that question and the question of what changes on July 1st. So accreditation shifts on July 1st.
Yes.
I mean, that's a clear
– Yes. And that's
that
huge.
That will happen on July 1st. Yeah. And that's being handled, at the system level, a kind of, coordinated and joint proposal that went to our regional accrediting body, the Higher Learning Commission, I believe last week. So Brittany and I are not involved at that level, but we know that there will be that shift of accreditation. In addition, there will be some name change. Now, we're still one of our task forces is the Communication Task Force. So
there's not a name yet.
They've set up a process of focus groups. I mean, I just want to emphasize how collaborative this is. We've heard that maybe there are some processes elsewhere that are less collaborative. Here we're gathering feedback from folks on both campuses and in communities about on a question like that. But there will be some kind of name change on July 1st as well. The biggest lift, you know, there are so many complicated things related to operations that I think are going to stretch out far beyond July 1st. One of the interesting and lively and I think very creative discussions we're having in the process with UW-Barron County and UW-Eau Claire is the question of how faculty will be integrated, what level of integration into departments at UW-Eau Claire, what level of autonomy for the UW-Barron County campus. And that hasn't been resolved. That's ultimately a decision that the chancellor will make, and we're having very thoughtful, creative discussions about levels of integration versus levels of autonomy.
Yeah. Tenure. I know for a fact that this is a major source of concern. At least, you know, I've been kind of looking into the Milwaukee situation because they're a Research One institution. Mm-hmm. They're going to be absorbing some 2-year colleges. So some of the staff at UW-Milwaukee are concerned that, well, they've got a whole different approach to tenure than we do. Who, you know, how does that go with regard to UW-Barron County and UW-Eau Claire? I'm sure there are different ways that tenure is granted. So whose standards will be followed? What about people that are currently in the tenure process at Barron County? Brittany?
I will actually hand that over to
David. Okay,
yes,
so
sure.
David,
to talk about, and like David alluded to as well, is that it is a very collaborative conversation right now in what is going to be best for our tenure track faculty members and what process they will have as we move forward. So, David, do you mind?
Absolutely. Not at all. And it is a very good question, Rich. And that's what we're talking through now. I mean, what we know is that the tenured faculty and the tenure track faculty at UW-Barron County are going to be part of this joined institution. And we look forward to their contributions, continued contributions as part of UW-Barron County campus and then UW-Eau Claire. The standards by which tenure track faculty members and would be evaluated or post-tenure review for tenure faculty members is not yet determined, right? We're looking at different models. UW colleges has had their system of personnel review, reappointment, leading to tenure and promotion, and with a very strong set of standards. And you're right that ours at UW-Eau Claire has been different. So that's a question that we are talking through and will ultimately, come down to a chancellor decision. I mean, I will say this, that you know, most faculty in UW colleges have terminal degrees. I mean, people that come from other states, as I did, know that, you know, 2-year college systems in some other states are much more distinct from a 4-year university than they are in this state. Because
right.
UW colleges, I'm not talking now about other 2-year colleges, not the technical colleges, but because UW colleges have been part of the UW system, you know, for many decades, the differences among the faculty are not great, right? I mean, faculty everywhere have tenure degrees. Faculty at 2-year colleges are doing research, publishing articles. I think the major difference between UW colleges and the UW universities has been in the kinds of students they serve and the type of outreach they do and serving like a large percentage of non-traditionally aged students, a large percentage of working students. So there a faculty member's life at a two-year college has been shaped by the students that they are serving in more, you know, open enrollment situations, open access situations.
Sure.
But the academic credentials and the teaching contributions and the professional development and research contributions of UW College's faculty are really, really impressive.
UW-Stowe, the chancellor mentioned, there's a lot of talk about the historical time. UW-Barron County was a branch campus of UW-Stowe back in the day. I can't remember what day this was, but I think it was in the 70s, 80s, something. It was a while back. Students there, student government, asked the Board of Regents to reconsider merging or joining Barron County with Eau Claire. Rather, they wanted it to go Barron County to Stowe. Very few minutes left, but Brittany, are there any reservations about that on campus in Barron?
Well, that's a really good question, and you're right. Historically speaking, we were a branch of UW-Stowe. I think a lot of it boils down to students are still going to have options. So while in a business sense we're going to be connected with UW-Eau Claire, our students are still going to be able to transfer smoothly and easily over to UW-Stowe if that is their best option. And it was a very good question. I think it came down to, again, President Cross's recommendation that we be partnered with Eau Claire. Our transfer rate is pretty close, but we do have more students going to UW-Eau Claire than we do to Stowe at this time. And again, it's just finding the right fit for our students. And again, that open transfer will allow them to go to either institution or elsewhere.
With that, we have to wrap up the discussion, but thank you so much. I want to thank David Lehman. He's the Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences at UW-Claire. Brittany Nielsen is Associate Dean for Student Affairs at UW-Barron County. Carl Martin is Dean of and Director of Cooperative Extension, and Aaron Brower is Provost and Vice Chancellor of UW Extension. Thanks for all the great calls this hour. Be safe out there. It is really looking nasty out these studio windows. We'll be back next week to talk about industrial hemp. I'm Rich Kramer. Have a safe and productive week. We'll chat again next Monday morning.